Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, again this morning with mothers and daughters around the world, and with my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. Deborah Tyler is not with us this morning. Deborah is on a much-needed and much-deserved vacation. Just finished up one of the milestones in life, graduating from college, from a long list of things that she had to overcome to achieve this. We say milestone, but now is the word by you. So mothers and daughters out there, just know you can do it. You can do it. Just ain't just getting up every day on one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. They put one foot ahead of the other. And I guarantee you, hands in God's hands, move your feet, you're going to get to where you need to go. Will the wind blow? Will the thunder? Yeah, oh yeah. All these things are going to come. But just keep in mind, your hands is in God's hands. So no matter what you're going through, your hands is in God's hands. And you're going to end up where you're going to be. You're going to be victorious. His job is you think you're not going to do it. His job is to make you tired. His job is to make you weak. You think your hands is not in God's hands. But if we could just hold on to that thought, my hands are in God's hands. And where and who can take me out of his hands? He said, nothing can take me out of his hands. So think about that. We'll get into some of that later on. We go to the line. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you? Good morning, audience. How are you guys doing? Dr. Fletcher, I'm not sure if you can do anything. I don't know if it's you're on your phone or your tablet, but you're cutting in and out. I'm hearing every other word.
Okay. You don't want to have that happen. Let's do something about it. Let's see here. Make sure. Traveling, so sometimes when you're traveling, it to do what it is to do. One second. Can you hear me?
Sorry.
I can hear you.
Okay. I'd like a different number here. Anyway, how are you doing this morning while we do this?
I am good, Dr. Fletcher. I cannot complain. I'm excited. I'm starting a new journey this week, as you know, and I'm excited. Let's do it. I like everything else. I'm be about it and not talk about it a whole lot, but I am doing well, Dr. Fletcher. Thank you for asking. All is well. What about you? Dr. Fletcher?
There you go.
Okay. 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 Now we're getting a kickback. We're getting echoes.
I hear it. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Now, can you hear me?
What about you? How are you today? I hear you well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm doing great. I was saying earlier, I just keep reminding myself my hands is in God's hands, and that's it. My hands is in God's hands.
Amen.
And that's all. That gives me the strength. It gives me what I need to survive in this world of actually being going through all the persecutions and the temptations of, you know, things that will make you think that you are not, but you know that you are. And so when I got that word, you know, your hands are in my hands, it looks crazy. You know, just hold on to my hand and sometimes you got to close your eyes. Just close your eyes and say, you know what, I don't even have to worry about this. Somebody else is leading me. But, you know, and audience, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but I'm just telling you a reality. There comes a time when God is wanting to bless you, when God has you on an assignment, and, you know, we want to go one way, and God's trying to get you to go this way. You know, sometimes you just got to stop and say, you know what, my hands is in his hands, if your hands are in his hands, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
And it makes a difference. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
Good. The best thing about it is that this week we actually launched the new community, and so now we are ready to actually invite our mothers and daughters around the world to come on and participate with us and be a part to bring their services and programs over and offer it to mothers and daughters around the world. So I'm excited about that. I feel like a burden has been lifted off of my shoulder. I feel like we have birthed the baby. Now it's time for all of us, the village, to come together and raise the baby. So that's where I'm at, and I'm excited to start on that journey this week.
Very good, very good. Do you mind if I go ahead and say prayers before we
go
get
right
started?
Go right ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble as we know how. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for what you've done, what you continue to do through this ministry. We thank you, Father God, for our leader, Dr. Fletcher, and her obedience and following you, Father God, and therefore we take instructions. And, Father God, we have been teaching and that instructions are so important. And Jesus was the perfect example of humanity, and he said three things. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only go where he tells me to go, and I only say what he tells me to say. And so when we get in the habit of following instructions, Father God, I declare we will do what it is that you would have us to do. And I just thank you, Father God. I thank you for our healing. We thank you for each and every member of the Mother and Daughter Global Movement and every family that they represent. We pray, Father God, that they're well today. We pray, Father God, that we will continue to stand. We pray, Father God, that we will move into a new season, and that it will be forever flowing in order to do the call that you have on our lives. We thank you for the call. We thank you for this radio show. We thank you for our audience. We pray that someone is listening and that something will be said, that this will be the beginning of change. And we thank you, Father God, for your continued goodness and mercies and your faithfulness to us, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on a cross so that we may have this opportunity to be with you, Lord Jesus, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit. With that, I say amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, our topic this morning, Cynthia, is mothers and daughters ask for a word.
Amen.
Ask for a word. You know,
Before you put me on mute, you will get, we have a guest, her number is 805 if you see it. I'm sorry, yes, 850, that's her area code, just to let you know.
Okay. So our word this morning is on mothers and daughters ask for a word. And that was my lesson this week. And I'm telling you, I asked for a word, and God gave me a word. And the word was so, I mean, not that I should be surprised, but the word was so direct I mean, I knew with that. I mean, there was just, I asked for the word for this particular thing. And I'm going to give the testimony for it. God has not allowed me to give the testimony yet because the testimony is not ready to be given. But I asked for a word. And when God gave me that word, I have been looking at that word, putting my eyes on that word, saying that word all day, repeatedly throughout the day. And yesterday, as I was driving down, there was a new revelation to that word that just really came like, whoa, came so alive. Even though I've been saying it all week and just looking at it and put my eyes on it in the Bible, and it's the word Jesus had, God had already given that word to Jesus. It was in red letters. Like I tell people, I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not one that I read the Bible, yes. But you, I don't care who you think you are, that you think that you have read the Bible so much. Some people, I've read the Bible 90 times. You can read it all you want, but are you getting a revelation from it? I never saw that. It's in a place where you think you would have seen it, but I never saw it. And that word jumped out, and that word spoke to exactly not what you think you think. You're thinking that it means this, that, and the other. There is no doubt in your mind that he did not give you that word for what you asked for. And I got up this morning and I said, well, Holy Spirit, what are we going to talk about today? And all up in my mind. And I was like, wow. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Ask God for a word. And when you get the word, hold on to that word. Hold on to that word. Don't let the enemy come and steal that word. So we on it. You got anything you want to say, Cynthia, before I
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. I'm just listening for the word. I'm waiting to hear.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll come back and pick you up.
All right. Thank you. We can't hear you, Dr. Fletcher. We can't hear you.
I'm sorry. I was supposed to be muting you. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. It's okay. You know what? I realized that, you know, there are so many different ways that people don't realize that the enemy come in and try to steal the word. You know, sometimes I used to say, I don't even want to speak about him. I don't want to give him credit. Oh, he would love that. He would love for you not to say anything about him. He would love for you to act as if he doesn't exist. But you know what? God allowed him to tempt Jesus, and Jesus had to speak to him. So we should know that it's okay to do, because he's the example. He came to show us and tell us how to deal with the enemy. Yes, he gave us his power and authority. Yes, he told us we have dominion over this earth. Yes, we have authority over Satan. But do you believe it? We act like we don't believe it. Because if we really, really believed it, we would not be going through some of the things that we're going through. We would not say that we wouldn't be tempted, not say that persecution wouldn't come, but we wouldn't have to go through it. We could stop it on a dime. Jesus didn't play with Satan. Satan, if you could turn this stone into bread, he didn't. All he said was, you know, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't have to raise his voice. He didn't have to say it twice, because he knew the power that he had. He knew he was over Satan. He knew Satan couldn't do anything to him. So when you know that you know that you know, and you know that you know that you know, then your faith will be in such a place that you could say it without falling on your knees and crying and begging and every day saying the same thing. And can you imagine God looking at us doing some stupid stuff like that? Yeah, I said the word stupid because I used to do it. Just asking him for the same thing every day. Asking for the same thing. Crying, Lord, you're not going to get it. Let me say to you right now, you're not going to get it. The more you beg and you call, and Jesus, God told me one time, he said, my people come to me, call themselves praying. But they're not praying. They're begging. It's a difference between praying and begging. You can say, well, I'm using the word of the Lord, and I'm doing this, that, and that. It's about the intent in your heart. You're still begging. Because, see, when you know that you don't have to worry about Satan, when you know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, that's the power and authority. Just knowing that alone, the greater is he that's in me. If you are saved and have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got the power in you, the same power that Jesus had, because he says, I give unto you my power, my authority. So you can speak to Satan and command Satan in my power, in my authority. It is written that you shouldn't tempt the Lord thy God, because he gave you the word to say it. He gave you permission. It's the same thing when Jesus say, I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do. Why do you think he told us that? And God already said, in order for you to get to me, you got to come through Jesus, because I can't even look at you and the sin. So now if we got to go through Jesus to get to God, then we only say what Jesus tell us to say and what Jesus tell us to do, and we're going to do what God said and do, because Jesus already said, I only do what God tells me to do. So we're going to be in the right place at the right time. And if he tells us, I give you my power, you better believe God told him, give them your power. If he says you have authority over Satan, you better believe God told him, tell them they have power over Satan. If he says to resist him and he'll flee from you, you better believe God told Jesus to tell us to resist them and he will flee from us. So you have to know the word. Jesus came to deliver the word. That's all he came to do. The miracles, people get in awe. They just, oh, my God, the miracles. And, Jesus did this and healed this. If he said to a person, be thou healed, your faith has made you whole, you better believe the Father told him, tell them the faith has made them whole. I do nothing. Remember he said, I do nothing. Unless the Father tells me, or saying every word that came out of his mouth was spoken, because God spoke through him to us. Now, Jesus is speaking through us to Satan. Don't let him beat you up. And I'm saying all of this because this is my battle. This is what I go through too. He know that we would go through these things. He know that we would be fighting this battle of faith. Sent Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, his words is in red. So you would understand all the words was in black. We would really get confused with what Jesus was saying to us. And do you know he told the apostles, write my words in my blood. Write my words in my blood. Why do you think the words are red? Write my words in my blood so they'll know that I said it. And whatever I tell them, they'll know it came from the Father. when you want something, you want to ask for a word. And then the only word you're going to get is a word that's already written, because he told you it is written. They ain't going to write nothing else for you. You think that God's going to sit back now and just going to write up another word or come up with something unique because Bessie wants a word? Oh, let me see now. We're going to have to get our heads together because Bessie's asking for a word. We got to come up with something unique and different. What can we come up with? No. Jesus said, it is done. It is finished. And finished means exactly what it means, finished. Excuse me. So if it's finished, anything that you need, any word that you need to hear is in those words, in the words of the Bible. They're in his words, in the red letters. And yes, you can read the red letters. I've printed out the red letters, and I read the red letters. Sometimes I just don't want to hear all the other stuff, and I just want to say, let me just see exactly what Jesus is saying. What is he saying? But you don't always get the full understanding of every time you read it. You can read it, you get a little bit here and a little bit there, and that's why it's ever growing, you know. But if you go directly and said, Jesus, I need a word. I need a word for this situation. You're going to get a word for that situation. And that word is going to speak to you so clearly that you know that was your word. I can't wait to share what he shared with me this week. There ain't no doubt in my mind. I don't have to wonder. There's no to and fro, no think about it. It's so plain that a blind person could see it. That's how plain it was. I was like, my God. I don't even have to fight for that word because I know that word is so plain and so clear. But does that stop the enemy from trying to convince me? Well, maybe it might. Well, do you? What? That's. I'm like Jesus. Nope. Just stop. Stop. Every time. Nope. I'm not even gonna allow you to say it. The minute I hear you coming to try to steal this word. Nope. I cover that word in the word of the blood of Jesus, because that's my word, and that word will manifest. I see it manifesting. I see it doing what he said. And I just got it this week. So I'm thinking, that's it. You've been reading the Bible forever. See, that's why you can't think that you know so much, because you don't. You can't think that you know God so well, because you don't. Even Jesus, he said, will not know when he was coming back. So if there's some things that God keeps from Jesus, you know there's some things he'll keep from you. Because we don't have the capacity to believe the simple things, let alone the confined things of the world or the universe or the mindset of God. We can't even comprehend. Even if he tried to tell us, we couldn't uncomprehend. So all I'm saying to you is, ask for the word. Ask for the word. Speak in the word. I don't know. Do not say, I'm on a path and nobody can help me. Do not say, I don't, or God don't hear me. God, why is it that when I ask you for something, you don't answer me? Why haven't you come? We've been waiting on you. What? Do not say that. Don't say it. Because you're out of order. How dare you talk to God and tell him, God now, the Almighty, I've been waiting on you. Where have you been? Why have, can you see how disrespectful that is as a child talking to their parent? Keep in mind, he's our Father.
And you better watch what you say. You think you're talking to him on a level. He said come to him boldly. Oh, yeah, he did. But you better come with reverence and respect in your heart. You better come with your intentions right. Because he's not going to allow you to just talk to him anyway. Come on now. You're just going to talk to God anyway? Jesus didn't do that. So in Exodus 4:12, and then that's kind of taking you way back. It's just when, this is back when the time when it was exiting out of Pharaoh's command. He says, now then go, and I, even I will be with you. Be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. He's been doing this. He's been telling them from the beginning of time to go. That was a word for Moses. Moses was like, you know, but you know, I can't talk. I stutter. And can you imagine if he's stuttering real bad and he's in front of Pharaoh and the courts and everybody laughing at him and Pharaoh's like, man, come on, what are you trying to say? He said, well, what do I do? Send Aaron, my brother. He's a good speaker. You know, Aaron's got the swag. Aaron can go in there and do this, God. God said, no, he can if I send him and he receive it, but I chose you. With all of your defaults, I chose you. And that's why he said, now then go. Now then go. And I, even I, will be with you. With your mouth is what it says. I will be with your mouth. Now, if that's not a word for Moses, I will be with your mouth. So there's no doubt in Moses' mind what God is saying. He didn't say, I will be with you. I said, I will be with you, and I apologize for that because, you know, that's what we always hear him say. I'll be going, I'll be with you. But to read it directly, and I'm going to do it again. Now then, go. And I, comma, even I, comma, will be with your mouth and teach you what you to say. Now, there's no way that Moses to misunderstand what God is saying to him. That's the word for his complaint about not being able to speak clearly with confidence, to be strong. You know, he was just, you know, if you could just get somebody else to do this, you know, I'll be there with them. I'll go with Aaron. You know, I'll help Aaron. I'll do whatever. If I have to fight the battle, you know, Lord, I can do this. No. I'm going to be in your mouth. So can you imagine every time he went before Pharaoh, God was in his mouth. God spoke. See, he gave him a word, and the word was, Moses had to take that word and believe, okay, I'm going because I don't have to worry about me stuttering because God said he's going to be in my mouth. He's in my mouth. All I got to do is just go and God's going to speak. Talking about when you ask for a word. We got to stop all this begging and carrying on and crying and questioning God and waving back and forth and being all this long time and yada, 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 yada. You know, the program we on now, God gave it to us in 2011. God didn't say another word about that program until 2020. And you tell me, if I don't get that, then it's nothing for me to get. That's when I said, oh, my God, I don't question God about nothing. Because he showed me, and he told me in 2011 when I said to him, well, God, you had us to do all of this. For what? Why would you have us to do all this work and then you do nothing with it? He said, nothing that I asked you to do, but the last word on that. Did I think about it? Yes, I did. Did I wonder if he forgot about it? Yes, I did. And eventually, it left my mind. Now, you're talking about 9 years. 9 years. I wasn't even thinking about it. And all of a sudden, God spoke. April 2020. Pull it out. You see? So how dare we question God? Yeah, we have a lot of stuff that we think we want. But you ever thought about God didn't give it to you because you really can't handle it? And you really don't deserve it? The reason why you don't deserve it? Because you ain't got no faith. You don't believe. You don't believe, because if you believe, you say it one time and you move on and you would never, ever come back to God about it again. That's the way God rolls. He said to me, that nothing that I told you would go to art. I got it when he said that. I went on about my business. That was the last thing he said. I'm like, okay. Did the devil try to bring it back? Yes. I said, I had to keep saying, no, he said, there's nothing he said to go to art. But, I mean, really, that was a long time for me. But it's not a long time for God. To realize if we really trust him, it is a battle. It is a battle. It is a battle. It is a battle in your intro conversation. That's the way Satan comes. He's trying to steal that way. He could have gotten me to the point where I said, oh, God ain't going to do it. Now, see, if I'd have said that, it would have never happened. Because God can't do anything without faith. So that showed you, I never gave up on that program. I never gave up on the conversations that God had with me. I never gave up on them because they were so real. So that's why I asked him, God, you have me do all of this? Because I know what he told me years ago. I saw the vision. He showed me some of it. And I'm thinking, I know God wouldn't have shown me this if it was not going to come to pass. So now it's coming to pass. And yes, it's been a struggle. Yes, the enemy's trying to do everything he possibly can. But I would be a fool to give up now. I don't care what he throw toward me. God has shown himself. And he don't have to. But if I had enough faith to not give up and faint and say some negative words out of my mouth, God would not be able to do what he's doing now. And I'm not starting now that he showed me. He's revealed some other things. We're all on a journey. This is not just me talking about my journey. Everybody has a journey. You have to look at what did God choose you to do? Ask God for your word. Whatever that word is, you take that word and you hold on to it. Because that's a part of your journey. And we all connected to someone else. There's no single journey that we travel alone. The people that God is sending into my life now, I've been waiting on these people for a long time. Told me they were coming. He told me to get ready. Get your team ready. I told them in 2011. God said, be ready. Because there was going to be people coming. Satan was going to try to upset this whole team. Be ready. But I understood. I understood the fact that they could not see what I saw. That's why they had to go to God for themselves. You have to go to God for yourself and make sure that you know, get a word. Am I supposed to be doing this? Get a word. And when he tell you what he wants you to do, trust him. Where you going? You have nowhere to go. You belong to Jesus. And we're on an assignment. We're not here just to look pretty, run around, drive a little car, eat some food, a few friends, buy a few clothes. What is that? That's that's all you're doing. If you're not serving God, that's all you're doing. And you want more of that. You want more clothes. You want two or three cars. You want more jewelry. You want to get a little tuck here and a pool there. You don't like the way God designed you. So I'm going to recreate what God did because God don't even know what he did. No, he didn't make me to last like I was in 20 till I'm 80. So you know what? I'm going to change this, and I'm going to take things into my own hand. I'm going to snap, zip, and correct. I don't have nothing to do with that. I'm not judging. But I believe that God made us perfect, and the way he designed us, we are to evolve the way that he designed us to evolve. That's my own personal belief. But I can tell you one thing. None of that's going to heaven. That redone body or, you know, all the makeup we can put on or the hair or, you know, the clothes that we buy or the houses and the diamonds and the cars and, you know, the furs, you know, hey, the trips that we go on, none of that is going out of this earth. When you descend or are sin or which one, you will not take it with you. God won't even let you bring the body that he created. Now, you know if he won't let you bring the body that he created, what else will you be able to bring? Nothing. You're going back. Nothing but pure spirit. But then keep in mind, we've got to have an account. We problem. When I told you that nothing that I asked you to do, Bessie, would go to art. I want to be able to say, Father, I believed you. He's not going to be mad with you about being tempted. He knows Satan's here to tempt you. Just don't agree with Satan. Just don't agree. See, I didn't agree. Had I agreed, we would not be where we are now. And sure, it's been a fight. We have to look at, it's not physical that we're fighting physical body. We're fighting spiritual. It's a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual fight that, you know, when you think you got things together and something happened, and yes, the body of my body would say, Lord, I'm getting tired. Lord, it's just a challenge. Lord, but help me with my unbelief. But when I got my word, something just, I don't know, it just, I remembered that the gentleman that spoke to Jesus and said, you know, that he wanted them to come and to his house, to his servant, and he wanted Jesus to speak a word over his servant. That's what it was. And said, well, I'll just come to your house. And he said, no. He said, you don't have to come. This was the gentleman that was in the army. He was a captain, a colonel, general, whatever he was. He was head of his division. I'll say it like that. He said, you don't have to come. All you got to do is speak a word. He said, because I'm a man of authority. You're a man of authority. I know what it's like to speak a word and to tell my men to go, to come, to do, to say, and they obey me. And all I'm asking you to do is speak a word, and you don't have to come. And Jesus said, my, paraphrasing. He said, I've never seen such great faith. Because he knew that guy understood authority. And if we could understand authority, we will speak the word, and we're going about our business. Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written that you can't tempt the Lord thy God, and move on. And we can do that, but then he'll come back and say something else, and then you get into a conversation with him. If you ever get into a conversation, you're going to lose. You cannot get into a conversation with Satan and think you're going to win. It's not going to happen. You'll be tied up in your inter-conversation, going back and forth, battling with him. And he knows you can't win in that arena. But if you use the word get you a word. And every time it happens, you say what God told you to say. And watch and see. It will leave you. That situation will correct itself. Because nothing is greater than the word of God. Nothing is greater than the word of God. So I'm going to end. You can go back. You can look at some things. You can just Google things that God said that ask the word. Jeremiah 1:7. Jeremiah 1:17. It can go on and on and on. Deuteronomy 18:18. It says, I will raise you up as a prophet from among them, countrymen like you, and I will put my word in your mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him to. See, everything is about a command. Everything is about a command. It goes on and on and on. Numbers, it goes on and on and on. Ezekiel, Luke 21, just get you into the gospel. Luke 21:15. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. It's all about asking for a word. See, he said this to them because they said something to him. He just said that out in the blue. They were like, God, well, what do I do? I need you to tell me something. What do I do? And God said, I will. Just go. I'll be with you. Mark 13:11. Just go. I'll be with you. John 1:28. Just go. I'm sorry. John 8:28. Just go. I'll be with you. It goes on and on and on. I'm not going to do the research for you. Go and look and ask. What are the Bible verses where men ask God for a word? And you're going to get a bunch of them and read them. And that's going to build your faith so that you can then say, God, give me a word. But you got to ask him for a word for a particular thing. Not just a word for, you know, I mean, whatever it is, it's got to be pinpointed. Because he's going to give you a word for that thing. If it's finances, give me a word. But I don't think you should even worry about finances. He said, don't worry about what you eat, drink, sleep, where you're going to sleep, eat. You know, he tell you don't worry about that. So why would you ask him for something that he already told you don't worry about? That's kind of redundant. You know, God, would you do that? I already told you. So that means you don't believe me. Did I tell you don't worry about what you're going to eat? It always, where you're going to sleep, I got you. I think when you're asking for a word, it's about your journey. God, this is, I'm on your journey. I'm on your assignment. I need a word because this, the enemy is coming in this area. I need a word for this. Joshua, I need a word. We need some more time, God. We need sunlight. You know, if we get dark, we won't be able to see him. Stop the sun. Need I say any more? I'm going to stop right there. Stop the sun. When you stop the sun, my God, my God. Cynthia, go ahead.
Dr. B, you know, I've been on this quest this past week, just, and I taught a Bible study on Wednesday, and we were talking about this very thing that you are discussing today about not only going to the Father in idleness, but going and asking him what. You know, in, when you mentioned Exodus 4:12-17, here's one of the things that maybe, you know, that plagues humanity. He says in Exodus 4:2-3, he says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. People, we do a lot of talking, and we sometimes get stuck right there. Sometimes we are the ones who destroy what God has already put in us with the words that come out of our mouths. He says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill, you covet. That word covenant, audience, talks about envying what your neighbors have. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. It's all about the motive, y'all, when you ask. Make sure your motives is right. You're not wanting something somebody else got because Miss Jones got the new purse. I want the new purse too. So God, can you give me the money to get this? And he said that you may, he said, when you ask in wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on the pleasures of this life. What are you asking God for things for and monies for? Are you asking it for me, mine, I? Or are you asking God so you can be part of a bigger solution to this world? We need to come asking God what it is, Father God, what is my purpose? We talked about this Wednesday night. Ask God, what's your purpose? Because you were created on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. But when you don't know your purpose, you'll be asking for frivolous stuff. And Dr. Fletcher is on point. Do not worry about what you eat, drink, or live. Because God got you. He knows you need these things. And yes, there are homeless people. There will always be homeless people. Yes, there are people who are hungry. God said the poor will always be among us. So who are we that he allows us and not them? That's something you got to ask God, because only he can give you that answer. But God is clear in his word. He gives, Dr. Fletcher gave you several scriptures. John 5:43, I have come in the Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another come in his own name, you receive him. So how can you get from God when you don't even believe that Jesus is who he say he is? Then John 5:23, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So we oftentimes walk around wanting a whole bunch of stuff, but we don't even honor the person who it comes through, because everything was made by him, for him, and that he is our Lord and Savior that gives what we ask for in his name. But when we have all these questions, and I love Gideon. Gideon was reluctant, just like Moses. He, too, was reluctant to do and go and do what God had told him to do. He even asked God for signs, putting out fleets and stuff like that. A fleet is something that you ask God to do in order to know that he is the one who told you to do it. So that's doubt right there. But God allowed him to do it. And Gideon even said to God, don't be angry with me. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing to let me know that it's you. And so God knows the spirit of humanity. He knows that we are reluctant to trust him. But every time you are in doubt, your job is to ask for repentance and ask God to help you with your unbelief. God knew that we would have unbelief. God knew that we would have doubt. That's why it's in scripture. It's not going to be an excuse for you not to walk in the purpose that God has for you because you simply choose not to believe, or you simply ask for wrong motives. It's all in the motives, audience. When you are constantly asking God for something that's not lined up with his word, it ain't going to happen. And sometimes we be on that vicious wheel trying to make it happen. Like Dr. Fletcher said, God may be protecting you from something. That's why you haven't gotten all that you think you desire. Because we be asking for some crazy stuff. And we be doing some crazy stuff, as Dr. Fletcher suggested. Then we wonder why life goes the way it goes, and we get into trouble trying to change certain things about ourselves. Because it was never designed for us to mess with. And we were never designed to have it because we're doing it with wrong motives. Man, that vanity is interesting. That vanity will get us in so much trouble. And that scripture that Dr. Fletcher was talking about, the centurion and how God heals the centurion, is Luke 7, 1 through 10, if you want to look that up. Dr. Fletcher has given us some amazing scriptures to back up what she's saying. One thing I love about this ministry, the Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministry, we always give you scriptures. Don't ever believe us. Go to the word for yourself, because God has a word for you if you ask. Thank you for allowing me to share, Dr. V.
Yeah, that was a good word right there. That's what I'm talking about. You know, that's basically what we were talking about just yesterday, Cynthia, when we were saying that, you know, God protects us from ourselves. You know, like yesterday when I was driving along and the traffic was heavy and we had the conversation about being in the right place, thinking you got to be in a hurry to get somewhere, and God is slowing you up because he don't want you to be in that spot at that time because he knew danger was up there. So either you're going to trust God or you're not. And it just makes all the difference in the world when we just relax and trust God. I was just as content in that traffic yesterday, and I'm going to get there when I get there kind of attitude. And I'm telling you, not only was that accident, it was accidents all along the road. I mean, where when I got up to it, someone was, you know, you could see they had them covered. And you get down the next 5 or 6 miles, there was another terrible accident. And then further down, there was something else. And I was like, Lord. So you either got to know that you trust him and don't be in a hurry. Don't try to make him do, because if he decides, okay, you're not going to listen to me, then, you know, people say, well, God allowed things to happen. You think God just says, okay, I'm just going to allow this to happen a bit because I just want to see what she's going to do. No, you done something first. People love to use Job, Cynthia. They love to say, you know, but Job was a righteous man. No, Job did. Why would God allow Satan to mess with a righteous man? You know, it says what Job did. Job said, the very thing that I fear came upon me. Job gave room for Satan to come in on him. He knew his children was out of order. You know, mothers and daughters out there, when you know that you are out of order, you know that you're out of order, and you keep doing it, and you know that you're out of order, then God is not allowing anything to happen. God can't stop it. You are allowing it to happen, not God, because he didn't do what you done. He didn't say, the very thing that I fear is going to come upon me, Job. The very thing that Job was fearing will come up. Job said, the very thing that I fear came upon me. Because he knew he was out of order. Even though he appeared to be a righteous man, and which, you know, that's where we fall as Christians. You know, we're Christians, Cynthia. And so we feel, okay, well, I'm safe and this, that, and the other. And then your children out there all out of order, and you don't say nothing to your children? You don't say nothing? You're going to let them just go? And a lot of times you out there talking about other people's children? Are you out there trying to save somebody else's children when your own children go into hell in a wastebasket? No. And then you say, God, why? God's like, well, you tied my hands. You were out of order. I can't work in an inorderly environment. So, yes.
Well, Dr. Fletcher, I'm sorry. Well, Dr. Fletcher, you know that is the truth for me. You know, we work with women in substance abuse. And I have been, my son came home from New York, and I knew he was a little depressed, and he was self-medicating. I got seen him with his pants wrapped around his ankles and was falling asleep. And then I smelled the weed on him. He comes in the house, and I had said something one time, and he told me he was grown, so I backed off and didn't say nothing else, and he was just going to hell in a handbasket, as you said. And God told me after he was diagnosed with cancer, I was walking one morning just talking to the Father, and the Holy Spirit said to me, What would it mean for you to save the world and lose your son to the very thing that you're fighting for? I was completely undone after the Holy Spirit said that to me, because how am I going to say something to women in prison about their drinking and carousing and doing what they do, and don't say something to my own son? And so when he was diagnosed with that cancer, the doctor pointed out three things that contribute to that blood cancer: drinking, smoking weed, and the fact that he didn't have his tonsils. That wasn't on him, because that is what protects you. It acts as a filter. But the point I'm making here, audience, is that we can't be out there trying to save somebody else and allowing our children to go to hell in a handbasket and not say something. And God chastised me on that thing.
Yeah.
I know that was a word from God. That didn't come from the sky. That came from God himself. The Holy Spirit speaks to us for God.
Yep.
And I know that he gave me that message that morning after that boy was diagnosed with cancer and after the doctor had pointed these things out. How are you going to save the world going into prison, preaching and talking about them drinking and carousing, and you allowing your own son in your own house to, mm-hmm. to carouse? The
mm-hmm.
devil is a liar.
And see,
come on
now. Happened to Job. That's what happened to Job. And when that happened to Job, what happened? Job had 10 children, and all of them left. He lost all 10 children. But then what happened? God gave him 10 more. Can you imagine?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I can't imagine, because God is able to do anything and everything.
Yeah.
He will get back in order. God will bless you tremendously if you do what he tells you to do. Repent. Job repented. Because God, he had a whole long conversation with Job about, okay, you think you know so much? Let me ask you this. And when Job repented, God restored him more than he ever had. You know, you never hear anything else about his wife in that story after she gave him such foolish advice. Why don't you just curse God and die? He was like, you woman, you talking foolish.
Yeah.
Like you said, you got to be mindful what you say to God, being disrespectful to God.
Yeah.
So we don't know if it was his wife that had these other 10 children or Job got married again, because that's not in the story.
No. No, it's not. And the fact that, can you imagine, see, all spirits go back to God. Now, God could have took those same spirits and put them in a different body and sent them back to Job.
Never thought of it that way, but that's a good point, Dr. B.
Could have sent him right back to Job. 10-10. Got him right back. But the thing that Job said was, the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Wow.
Amen.
That's a good show. All right, our time is up, Cynthia. I can't believe it. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Oh, it goes real quick. Okay.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's a good word right there. The word is, mothers and daughters, ask for a word. Whatever your situation is, go. If you're not saved, come live into your heart. When you do this, you're saying, I'm going to change from my ways, and I want to live, and I want you to lead and guide me, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Ask for a word. You will get a word. If you're not saved and you ask for a word, you may not be able to comprehend, because you're going to need the Holy Ghost Spirit to to discern what you're getting. All right, that's the word, Cynthia.
Amen. And God also says faith comes by hearing. You got to hear the word in order to know what to do when you're not saved. So you gotta seek the word, and you got to hear the word in order to receive the word. Thank you, Dr. Fletcher. Y'all have a great day, audience. Love you guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Same to you. Bye-bye. Bye, audience.
All right. Bye-bye.